Well, what a joy to be able to gather together here, to see you who are gathered here on our campus, and for those of you who are part of our online community, it is so great to come together to worship our Lord Jesus and to spend time in this love letter called the Word of God, and also to connect with special friends like Joanne, as we just did. So let me just highlight yet again, Christmas Eve gatherings here coming up just later this week. Can you believe? It's coming up quickly, 2:30 and 4 o'clock. I can't wait to be a part of that with you. And I know here we are in the midst of this COVID season. It just continues. It just lingers. I know we're all kind of exhausted, but let me just say that now, as disorienting as it all is, this season of Christmas and celebration is a wonderful time to step back into some rhythms with your church family. And so I want to invite you to do that, warmly welcome you to our Christmas Eve gatherings coming up here this weekend, again at 2:30 and 4. I can't wait to be part of that with you. Say, this past week, Miss Krista and I sat down in our living room. Actually, it was Krista and me and our geriatric diva dog, Dixie. All right, she's an old lady. And we gathered there on the couch and we pulled up onto the big screen there in front of us, the Chosen Christmas Special. How many of you are familiar with the Chosen series? It's really great, isn't it? It's absolutely fantastic. Let me just say to you, by chance, if you have not seen or are unfamiliar with the Chosen series, you are missing something really significant. So I want to encourage you to download the Chosen app. Go to your app store, download the Chosen app, and you can put it right there on your phone. You can watch the whole series there. It is a marvelous retelling, very faithful retelling of the life of Jesus and the gospel story. It's so well done, so well done. Think of it as a very well done TV show, basically, TV series on the life of Christ. Download it on your app. You can watch it right there on your phone, on your laptop. You can throw it up onto your TV there, whatever works for you. You don't want to miss it. So this will be a great opportunity during the Christmas season to gather as family and friends and just settle in and binge watch the Chosen series. Well, nonetheless, Chris and I pulled up the Chosen Christmas Special, which was absolutely fantastic. And but something happened to me. Just as we have it up there on the screen, I felt this deep pang down in my gut, and tears came into my eyes. And I thought, what is this? And I realized something. I have been running so hard through this Christmas season, all right? Just going nonstop, doing all the Christmassy things, right? Checking the list and checking it twice and all the stuff. And this was the first time really in any meaningful, extended way that I could just sit and breathe and just be in the wonder of the birth of our King Jesus. Now, it's not that I haven't driven around and listening to Christmas carols since like early November or something like that. I have done that. It's not like I haven't walked through Patina over in Golden Valley with my Santa hat on. I've done that. I mean, I've been in my own ways attempting to celebrate and remember and be attentive to it, but I've been doing it hastily. I've been doing it in a way that's like a survivor just trying to grab the last drop of water. I haven't just sat and settled down and wondered sufficiently until that moment. And then, oh, it was rich. Just hearing the worship songs, seeing the visuals, and getting swept up in the whole story of the incarnation, of the birth of our Savior. It was great for me. But you know what I discover in talking to people, in thinking through what I'm sharing with you here, what I discover is I'm not alone, am I? I'm not. How many of you would feel like thus far in this Christmas season, you've been going at a rapid pace? Please tell me I'm not the only one. I see a few hands out there. How many of you feel like that you're running to keep up and that maybe you're just a bit out of breath trying to manage it all? I know I'm not alone. Many of us are that way. And it shouldn't have to be that way, even though it so often is that way. We have an opportunity. And the opportunity is to just settle down for a little bit and just be in wonder of this Jesus and this most marvelous story of new birth, of this Jesus who was born of a virgin and laying in a manger and sung to by angels and shepherds. This Jesus begs for us. His whole story begs for us to just have this holy curiosity and to give him great glory and to be filled with praise and joy. Praise and joy. C.S. Lewis says that joy is the serious business of heaven. And I think he's exactly right. And you know what? It is also the serious business of earth. It is our business as followers of Jesus to be people filled with joy and wonder, praise, celebration, to glorify God for all that he's done. This ought to capture every moment of our experience. And yet, oh, again, I find myself too often going through the motions, hastily moving through the day, given an occasional nod to this Jesus. And so then when I can just settle in and give him praise, oh, it's so good. It's so good. And you know what he does? You know what our God does? Oh, he's so good. He is worthy of glory because his Son has come to make all things new and to reclaim that which has been lost by sin and shame and fear and brokenness. He's so worthy of glory. You know what he does? He primes, listen to me here, he primes our spiritual engines so that we can praise with a roar. Do you know that? He primes our spiritual engines. He primes our engines so that we can praise him with a roar, so we can really enter in, so that even when the days are blowing right by us, he primes the engine for us to just stop. How does he do that? He does it in a variety of ways. One is through the word of God. You know, here's how this works. The other day, just several days back, when we had one of our major snows, and it was evident that I needed to forego the shovel and pull out the snow blower. All right, I got it out there, and I, you know, there's that red button right there on the snow blower, the big rubber button, and it's the prime button, and you push it. The little sticker says three times, so I push it four or five, and to get the thing really going, and it cranks up, and off we go, and we do the thing that it was designed to do. So God does this. He primes our engines so that we can roar with praise. He does this how? The Word of God. It's one of the ways. For example, my favorite verse in the Bible, and I have shared this countless times for years here from this platform. My favorite verse in the Bible is Isaiah 41 verse 10. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear not, God says, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I see some of you out here and on our campus saying those words with me, even as I'm reciting them right here. And you know, I really like that middle phrase, be not dismayed. In the ancient language, do you know what it means, literally? In the ancient language, it means don't be looking around aimlessly and helplessly. I'm your God. It's as if God is saying, hey, right here, eyes on me. Don't get distracted by all the stuff out there. Keep your eyes right here. And it's a wonderful tone setter. It reminds us of the things that are most critical, most important. It reminds us of where our lives are best centered. It reminds us that all the distractions, all the things around us, even when they're important, aren't nearly as life-giving or important as our Master, as our great King. Eyes on me, he's saying. I love you. I see you. Now you see me. This is the heart of our mighty God. And so this is one of the ways he primes the engine for us when we're maybe in a malaise of sorts, and he sees that, and he wants us to turn our attention back to him. And so he reminds us, hey, you, eyes right here. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to hold you. It's a wonderful promise from our King. Now, there's another verse that's world famous. Many of us know it. Some of you may have never heard it before, and that's okay. Today's a great day to learn it. And it is Psalm 46:10. Deeply loved Psalm 46:10. In fact, Krista and I, we have it on the wall right across the bedroom from us. I'll tell you more of that in a second. Here's what it says, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God, he says. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, I like there's one rather strong translation that says, stop striving and recognize that I'm your God. I like that. I think that's a good way to translate it. I like Eugene Peterson and his very earthy paraphrase called The Message. All right, he puts it in a very accessible way. Here's what he says. He says, step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. I like that. Step out of the traffic. The sentiment is, slow down, stop, be still, step out of the noise, focus on me. Now, like I said, Krista and I have it emblazoned on a print that's nicely framed in our bedroom. We've had it for years, and so it's right there across the room from our bed. And so, you know, I see it when I lay down at night. There it is, be still and know I am God. And I see it every morning when I wake up, be still and know I am God. It's wonderful, and you know what else it is? Incredibly annoying. I mean, it is relentless. It is mocking me. Because normally I'm falling into bed, and by the time my head hits the pillow, I'm asleep. Or normally I'm waking up early, and I'm groggy and thinking to myself, I really have to get up. And I can't believe it's already the hour. And so it's up there, be still and know I am God. And I want to go and just take it off the wall. But it's an invitation. It's his way of priming the engine of my soul. He's saying, hey, you, my child, right here, eyes on me. I've got you. I see you. I love you. And I'm doing a new work. And I want you to be a part of it. I want you to experience what I'm about. I want you to join me today, right now, right now. Now, this is one of the ways that the Lord primes the engine, so to speak, of praise is through his word. He also uses those tender moments like Krista and Dixie and I enjoyed there as we were soaking in this exquisite Christmas presentation through the Chosen series on that night, just some nights ago. And you know what else he uses to prime the engine of praise? Sermons. This message right here, it is not accidental that you are joining this conversation right now, this moment. God is priming your engine. He's saying, child, now is the time to praise me. Right now is the time to rejoice. Right now is the time to step into the wonder of everything going on in this season, the wonder of the newborn King. Right now is the time. And he uses the word of God, and he uses tender moments. And mark my words when I tell you, he uses messages. This message, this sermon, was planned in early September because God in his mercy knew. God moved us to understand that when we got to this day, if you're like me, you'd be tired. If you're like me, you've been running too hard. If you're like me, it's going to be, oh, one more thing to do. And God in his mercy is like, no. I want you to just breathe. I want you to be curious about that newborn babe. I want you to rest there before the manger. Gaze upon the child. Just sit in wonder and be filled with joy. And that's what he's about. He's priming your engine right now. You may not even know it, but right now where you're sitting in your kitchen, you're right here in one of these seats, he's priming you to praise him. And that we're going to do in just a little bit. Now listen to me here. Some of you will say, oh, but Pastor Matthew, that's well and good. But you don't know how hard this season has been for me. This stretch of months has been awful. I've lost a couple people that are close to me, and I'm grieving so deeply. And I'm sure, I know those stories are right here in front of me. Or Pastor Matthew, my job is sketchy right now because of this ongoing COVID thing, and I am so exhausted with worry. I hear you. Or you may say, Pastor Matthew, well and good, this opportunity to have joy, but you do realize that with inflation and the bottleneck of supply, prices are going up, my income's already limited enough. Man, I am strapped. I'm trying to figure out how to do Christmas with family and friends, and I am so stressed. Yeah, I'm with you. I understand. I hear that. I'm there. I get it. And you know what? Listen to me. I know there are other blanks that we could fill in with anecdotes of hurt and fear and frustration that make it seem like a conversation about revving our engines for praise is utterly futile. I understand that. I understand. You know what? You're not alone. The Christmas characters of old, they get this. They really do. Let me tell you, Zechariah and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, oh, friends, they were a priestly couple in the sunset days of their lives. And they had no child. They had no legacy. And in the all-important familial culture of Judaism, they didn't have a legacy to leave by way of progeny, by way of children. And the pain of that was intense. And then there's Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus. Mary, living in a backwater town, that when you said its name, people said, oh, nothing good comes from there. Any of you live in a community or on a neighborhood block where the reputation is nothing good comes from there? That's Mary, the mother of Jesus. Joseph, well, he's in love with Mary and wants her to be his wife. And he's a good man. But he's just gotten word that this woman that he treasures is pregnant, and he knows he's not the baby daddy. And he's trying to figure out, wait, what? And his whole world is completely coming unglued. It's unraveling. And he's talking to her, trying to understand, and she's explaining this fantastical story of an angelic messenger and the Son of God. And you know, he's never had reason to doubt her before, but this is just beyond the pale. And then there's the shepherds out in those fields, just a stone's throw from Bethlehem. You know, the shepherds in that culture were scorned, looked down upon. They're the folk that nobody wants to hang around with. They're the outcasts vocationally, you know. And they're the ones that smell. They got lamb's manure on their sandals and mud on their ankles. And they're kind of a rough crowd already. And the irony about it, frankly, is they are taking care of the sheep that become the offerings at the great temple to help the whole worship experience at the temple. And they take care of the sheep that the families of the Jews would cook up and lay on the table for dinner. And so in typical fashion, and frankly nothing has changed, the community benefited from their hard work while scorning them every step of the way. And we do that too with certain vocations here in our own day and age. We love the benefit we get But we look down on them and sneer them because it's beneath us. And that's the way it was with the shepherds. That's the world they're in. And so there was this mundane reality of their lives as shepherds and Joseph and Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah, where they had pain and grief and scorn and shame and fear. And so it is when you read the stories in Matthew 1 and Luke 1 and Luke 2, the most common element binding these individuals together is that the angelic beings that spoke to them that God was on the move and doing something new, the angelic beings said to every single one of them, don't be afraid. To the shepherds, fear not, for I bring you glad tidings of great joy. To Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. To Mary, do not be afraid, O favored one. And to Zechariah, as he stood there at the altar in the temple doing his priestly job, don't be afraid. The Lord has heard your cry. Don't be afraid. And you know what God's doing there? He's priming the engines. He's priming the pump. He's sending the fuel to the carburetor, so to speak, so they will know there's something about to happen. Something. God is doing something. God is on the move. God is working. He's priming the engine of praise. And oh, praise did they do. And rightly so. Rightly so. Good things were happening. A baby is born who's going to change the world as we know it, turn it completely upside down, and do it through power that is beyond natural. Good things were unfolding. Good tidings to be told. Much rejoicing, much celebration, much wonder. Listen to me. Much joy. I want you to hear me here. Good news provokes great joy. All right, are you listening to this? Good news provokes great joy. And there was plenty of good news to go around. Jesus has arrived. He is on the move. And in the midst of all the pain, all the heartache, it's so easy to say, I can't celebrate him because the world is too hard. That's why he came. He came because it's so hard. He came because it's broken. In the midst of your grief, in the midst of your despair, in the midst of the fear we all have, I have it too. That's why he's arrived, to meet us in the middle of it all and to be with us and to carry us forward toward new life in him through his power, forgiven and free. And so this is good news. Good news provokes great joy, and rejoice we must. Ah, listen, friend, consider Bethlehem. Consider this home for Christmas called Bethlehem, right? And in fact, here's what the scriptures have to say about Bethlehem. The prophets spoke of it centuries before Jesus was born. The prophet Micah, he says in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, these words. He says, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, this is God speaking, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. It's a prophecy that God's son, Jesus, is going to show up on the scene. He's going to be the king. He's going to rule. He's going to show up in the city of Bethlehem in a little district of Bethlehem called Ephrathah. And that's exactly what happened. And so we fast forward centuries and we come to this beautiful and well-worn story right here, right here. Luke chapter 2. Listen to this. Luke chapter 2. I want you to capture what is said. For some of you, it may be new. And that's great. I love that. Listen to the scriptures here. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom God is pleased." Now, this is the word of God. This is an incredible moment. The angels have shown up and they have confronted these lowly shepherds and said, "Hey, you over there in that little village on the horizon, you see where the twinkling lights are? Over there, the Savior has been born. The Messiah has come. He has been born to save the world, all people, and you, and by the way, you and me. Now go see him." And as if that exhortation wasn't enough, then that angel begins to cry out, "Glory to God in the highest," and is joined by myriad upon myriad of other heavenly hosts, declaring, shouting, saying, maybe even singing, we don't know for sure, "Glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest." Can you imagine the raucous noise that would have been? Praise, praise, praise. Oh, to sit in the wonder of it all. And so, suddenly, the light disappears. It's now back to blackest night there on that hillside. The shepherds are disoriented, wondering, what in the world just happened? And they look over about a click away toward the horizon, and there's Bethlehem. And they gather their things and they go, curious, filled with awe, with wonder, with some measure of trepidation. What is this? Well, listen to their experience here. Luke chapter 2, verse 15 and following. "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them." Did you catch that? They make their way over to this part of Bethlehem. They stumble into the area where the barn animals reside. They fall down, and right there in a stone trough is this newborn baby, perhaps still with the soils and fluids of birth all over him, hay stuck to his forehead. There he is in the manger. And they are just in awe. And they tell everybody they can find about what they're seeing. And then what's their response? Praise, worship, celebration. After all, the one who's going to reclaim everything and make it new has arrived. That's the joy of it all. He has shown up on the scene. And so it is, this little baby, born of a virgin, laying in a manger, lived a sinless life, grew up to a mature man, betrayed by a friend, arrested by the authorities, tried by a bunch of religious snobs, crucified on a Roman cross, hung on the cross, and when we see him there, we don't see the newborn flesh and the little bits of hay stuck in a cute bald head. Now we see blood flowing and a crown of thorns mashed down onto his skull. He shed his blood there so sinners like you and me could be forgiven and free. He did this, and then he died. And then he rose from the dead. And then he ascended into the heavenly places. And there he sits in session advocating for you and me who follow him at the right hand of his Father, pleading our cause before the God who loves you the best. And because of all of this, guess what, friends? Sin, death, the devil, fear, shame, and filth, what? No longer have the final word. Say that with me. No longer have the final word. They're impotent because of the work of Jesus. And all of this is priming the engine for you and me to just praise him. Because after all, good news provokes great joy. And we have reason to praise him. Here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to stand right now, if you're comfortable, if you're able. If not, remain seated, that's fine. But would you just stand? If you're at home, stand up right there in your kitchen or your living room. Don't stand in your car. Feel free to kneel down if that's comfortable. Or sit quietly, but the biggest thing is, let's enter in here. Here's what I want you to do. Now, I want you to just take a deep breath. And close your eyes. I want you to feel the ground on which you're standing or sitting or kneeling. I want you to feel the earth that God made that is holding you up. Just feel held up by God here. Just feel it. There in your feet, the balls of your feet. Just feel that. With your eyes closed, I want you to picture the brilliance of angels crying out, "Glory to God in the highest." Can you hear it? Now I want you to feel the racing heartbeat of shepherds as they run across those fields toward that sleepy town on the horizon. And I want you to feel the awkwardness of falling into a quiet space with a mother and her guy and a little baby in a stone trough. And there you just kind of fall before that baby. You feel the awkwardness of it. And just look at him. And as you're looking at him, I want you to imagine your fear, your regrets, your worry, your grief, your pain, just sliding off and falling right there on the floor before the manger. And you see it there. And you look up at the manger, but when you look up, it's not a manger. Now it's a cross. And you see this one who was born to die for you. He's meeting you right in the middle of everything here. And the fact that he is good news that provokes great joy. Take another deep breath with me. And now let's praise him. And let's sit in it for a bit. Let's praise him.